Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The 2024 NFL Draft is now officially open.
All right, it's the moment we've been waiting for all year long. I'm sick to my stomach, excited, nervous, the whole thing. So
rumors are flying, I can tell you that. There seems to be a lot of trade chatter
a lot here of
early in the first round.
Schefter's phone's just blowing up right
could
now.
Could go down, yeah. The text messages are flying fast and furious around the league at the moment. Everyone anticipating the most important mock draft of all.
Maybe the best idea we've ever had, to be honest with you. I put this on the Mount Rushmore of Ben and Woods bits.
I think this might be the worst one of all time. I really have done myself.
Bro, it'd be hard to top last year or the year before that. But let's give it a shot.
All right. Let's start it off with the number one pick.
The pick is in.
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select
Joe Alt, offensive tackle, Notre Dame. In a shocker, the Bears decide against taking a quarterback at number one. Instead, Bears coach Matt Eberflus says, quote, his team will run the keyboard offense. It's an option shift with Alt deleting the opposing defensive lineman to open up space and control and command the line of scrimmage and return the Bears to glory.
It's actually beyond brilliant. I mean, that was beyond brilliant. Also, I love Joe Alt. So that was
thought you'd like
brilliant.
Me. I thought you'd like a Notre Damer there, number one.
What a shocker!
Now listen, you've already just reeled me in. This is already a dub in my eyes. That's brilliant, Ben.
We're off and running.
We don't wait. 15
we don't need to wait
minutes.
15 minutes for no. The next pick.
The pick's already in.
With the second pick in the NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select
Caleb Williams, ooh, quarterback out of USC. Williams immediately announces his intention to enter the transfer portal. Quote, I really would have been okay playing for the Bears, but there's no chance I'm playing for the Commanders.
Not bad at all.
All right, let's move on.
All right, third pick is in.
The joke is so, he makes it so literal.
I know.
I will not play here. I don't want to because they are a bad team, and I would like to play elsewhere.
I like to put some big names in there as well.
I know you do.
Third pick, the New England Patriots are on the clock. Let's go to the podium.
There he is.
With the third pick in the NFL draft, the New England Patriots select.
Now, this is a surprise. Christian Mahogany. Guard out of Boston College. New coach Jared Mayo trying to rebuild the offense and franchise after succeeding Bill Belichick. Quote, we'd never pass up an option to remodel our line with rich mahogany. We're also planning to add many leather-bound books to the organization.
Oh, my God.
His laughter after.
He just likes that one.
Every year.
He really liked that one.
There's some chatter going on now. I'm hearing some chatter.
Oh, no. Some moves. Oh,
yeah. Some text messages coming in here. Oh, yeah. We have our first trade.
Yeah, we do.
Of
yeah,
the
Vikings were on the clock. They are no longer on the clock.
Oh, let's go to the commissioner.
The Minnesota Vikings have traded the fourth pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select.
The Los Angeles Chargers have traded quarterback Justin Herbert and the 11th overall pick in the first round to the Minnesota Vikings for their number 4 overall selection, and they have selected J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. Jim Harbaugh immediately guarantees McCarthy will win 8 Super Bowls, surpassing Tom Brady, and he then announces that in lieu of training camp, the Chargers will get ready for the season by watching every rerun of Judge Judy. No, that one didn't work for you.
Because
it's a Harbaugh's
Jim
weird.
Harbaugh was in the background of a Judge Judy taping.
Like, yeah, it's a Harbaugh's really weird kind of joke and kind of loves J.J. McCarthy a little too much.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know about the Judge
Judy. The Judge Judy thing, yeah.
No, I know he's
obsessed with Judge Judy.
He did get caught on the sideline eating a booger. I might have gone to that joke because he is a notorious booger
eater. That could have worked, too.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, they don't all.
They're not all deadly.
Let's get back to it. Arizona Cardinals are on the clock.
That was the first one to make me sweat. That one made me sweat a little bit.
With the 5th pick in the NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select
Zach Zinter, guard out of the University of Michigan. Arizona GM Monty Austinfort really liked what he saw at the combine. Quote, at 6'6", 332 pounds. He's got legs and he knows how to use them, so we had ZZ top of our draft board.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Well, ZZ top, huh?
Yeah, Zach Zinter. ZZ, that's ZZ his nickname. Top. ZZ.
A lot of offensive linemen in the first.
My draft, I believe, in building from the trenches out.
Outward, yeah. Yeah. It's like golf. You work green out. That's exactly right.
I think it's a wise strategy.
Oh, man. Well, I'm pouring sweat right now.
The New York Giants are on the clock with the 6th pick, and this just came across the board here that we have another trade, ladies and gentlemen.
The New York Giants have traded the 6th pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With the 6th pick in the NFL draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select
TJ Tampa, cornerback from Iowa State. Quote, we couldn't risk letting Tampa fall any further in the draft and possibly going to a non-Tampa based team. I didn't have a ton to work with. I'm sorry.
You picked it.
I know.
Yeah, there's like 300 guys.
I know. I went through all like...
His name is Tampa.
I went through 400 draft prospects looking for some of these. They're harder than you think. All right, don't worry. We're not done yet.
Okay, I think
it gets stronger here.
Oh, and what is this, ladies and gentlemen? The 7th pick, the Tennessee Titans have traded the 7th pick. Look, another trade in the top 10. Trades. We're making Ben and Woods. Ben mocks the draft history here.
The Tennessee Titans have traded the 7th pick to the Baltimore Ravens. With the 7th pick in the NFL draft, the Baltimore Ravens select
Drake May, quarterback out of Duke University.
Wow.
With wide receiver Zay Flowers already on the roster, John Harbaugh is looking forward to see if April draft showers really do bring May Flowers.
That's pretty good. I think that's my favorite so far.
That and the alt one's very good.
I had to get him to the Ravens somehow to make that one work.
Very, very good.
Which is why we're in kind of a run of trades
here. Are they not confident with Lamar Jackson? That's
apparently
an interesting
not.
Choice.
I mean, you know, it's like the Patriots. They're always looking for the next successor to their franchise quarterback. They may end up trading him to the 49ers in 3 years. Who knows?
That's a good one.
All right, well, with the 8th pick, the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock except we got another trade.
Wow.
Let's go to the podium. Commissioner Higgins.
The Atlanta Falcons have traded the 8th pick to the San Francisco 49ers. With the 8th pick in the NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select
Tanner Bordellini, guard out of the University of Wisconsin.
Oh.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan says he plans to play Tanner next to guard Alfredo Gutierrez, giving his team a very tasty O-line of Bordellini Alfredo.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That was great. That was really good.
I did not read that one when you sent them
really
over.
Good.
Uh-huh.
Holy crap.
The trades are the best part.
If I could even begin to explain how much extra work.
I want like a 40-team trade next year. I want like picks and everything.
Oh, don't worry. They're not done yet because the Chicago Bears are back on the clock again, but they're not staying in the number 9 slot.
This is the 5th trade of the top 10.
The Chicago Bears have traded the 9th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 9th pick in the NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select
Kool-Aid McKinstry,
yes.
Quarterback out of Alabama. You knew that was coming at some point. Chiefs GM Brett Veach couldn't resist the opportunity to pair Kool-Aid McKinstry with Kool-Aid man head coach Andy Reid. Reached for comment. All Veach had to say about the pick was, oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wow. That was great. Great.
Wow.
Is that it?
No. Oh, you guys still wrap up the top 10. Plus a little surprise.
All right. Oh. The New York Jets are on the clock.
You know they're going to butcher this.
Yeah. They actually,
it's the Jets.
They just got the pick in time, and they are on the clock. Here's the commissioner.
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select
Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. Not only is it a new pass catcher for Jets veteran quarterback, but we all know Mr. Rogers loves to sing about his neighbors.
Oh, very good. That's a good one, too.
Very good. That's your top 10. But fast forward the clock 3 days, because we also have the 248th pick of the draft in. Now, Paulie could not find Roger Goodell announcing the 248th pick of the draft.
He didn't stick around for the last.
Because that is Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant.
The Buffalo Bills have selected Frank Crum, offensive tackle, the University of Wyoming. Said Bills GM Brandon Bean, every other decent draft prospect was taken. All we were left with was one last Crum.
I love it. I love it. It was really good. This is a couple turns, but it was, for the most part, it was
usually
really,
there's about six turns.
Today,
there, so.
The turns were minimal.
Benjamin.
It was really good. Ben, you knocked it out of the park.
Done.
Well done. I know it's not easy.
That is. It's hard to watch the chat just kind of going along, going, this is the worst segment of all time. This is the most horrible thing I've ever heard
Don't ever look at the chat, ever, Ben.
I just always like to think about new listeners. Like, maybe somebody flipped over in traffic to 97 for the first time.
Yeah,
and they hear that. Let's give these jerks a chance. And they hear that, and they're like, what the F is happening?
I loved it, man.
Man.
That's so well done, Ben. So well done. I really liked the Bortolini Alfredo. It was great. I love the Control-Alt-Delete was fantastic. Kool-Aid Man was amazing. The Harbaugh one didn't really land, but that's all right.
No, that's fine.
Can't all be winners.
Did my best.
I mean, it's such a hard bit to do, and you have to write it out. I mean, it's very difficult to do. Very difficult.
I have a natural affinity for bad puns.
Oh,
though,
yeah, and that's
which
the
makes
thing.
It right up my wheelhouse.
That is that one is, of the, maybe the only bit that we do throughout the year in which
we plan,
where Ben puts in a ton of time and effort.
Yeah.
I put in
you
a
guys
time,
just get
I
kind of surprised
nothing.
At the
what
end.
What shows up? That's what happens to Ben all the time.
I don't do one. I'm like, let's go. And I'm like the arbiter of the whole thing.
Typically, it's me and Woodsy going, Ben, don't worry. Just trust us. Just roll with us.
Yeah,
don't worry
us.
About it.
Yep.
You don't have to do anything.
That was really good. Really, really good. And Ben Mox's draft is never going away. Just so you know, as long as we are a show, we will be mocking the draft forever and ever. And there's some of those names that you mentioned, there'll be top 10 picks for sure. Caleb Williams, most definitely. Joe Alt, most definitely.
Yeah, there are a few possible ones. Like, I don't think I got any of them right, but you'll hear some of those names called tomorrow. In fact, you'll hear them called right here for those of you who take the draft a little more seriously than we do. We will have NFL draft coverage for you after the Padres game tomorrow night from 5 to 9, the entire first round. Chris Yellow, Braden Soprano, and Matt Scraby are going to be hosting our draft coverage live feed from the podium for every pick. So if you are driving around, you want to hear, you know, who goes where, which I think most of us are curious about. What I don't like is the obsession before the draft. Just let it happen. It's going to happen. Teams have to be obsessed. But as fans, I'm willing to just wait and see who goes where. Just because you think you know what's going to happen beforehand doesn't change what actually happens in the draft. So you'll find out just with everybody else right here on 97.3 The Fan.
The one thing you can be assured of is that every single team in the first round, quote, got their guy. Every single team in the first got their guy.
And you'll also get all the grades from the experts after the draft. Some will get A's, some will get F's. They still don't know. They still don't know how, you know, how these picks will eventually turn out. But I do expect Caleb Williams, obviously, to go number one to the Chicago Bears. They made that pretty obvious. They say they know their pick, and you have to wait and find out. But
you know, the thing that drives me nuts,
I'd be pretty shocked if it wasn't him.
He drives me nuts. You're the first team on the clock.
You could say.
You don't have to wait 15 minutes.
No, well, you don't know. You don't. But you want 15 minutes of national coverage on ABC and ESPN and NFL Network
where
they're talking about your team.
Hold on, hold on. Why?
Because you're trying to build some excitement for the new player you're about to get.
What is that?
Then again, they're talking about the fact that you were the worst team in football, and that's why you have the number one pick.
And,
so.
Like, if you just make that pick, if you make that pick with one, like, all right, here we go, pick is in, it's Caleb Williams, they're still going to talk about it for 15 minutes. Yeah. You know, they really will.
The second team also, they got a pretty damn good idea who's going ahead of them and who they're going to take. They don't need to take 15 minutes.
I think I'd want to mess. If I'm a GM, I want to at least mess with the guy behind me a little bit. All right. Leave some uncertainty to the next team.
Here's a good idea for next year. Let's get Goose Gossage to mock Ben mocking the draft. Goose comes
You're
in.
You're a draft nerd.
He comes in and just rips you for your mock draft.
Maybe he likes the mock draft.
He might.
I don't know that we might enjoy that Goose segment. Gossage on the show again live.
Unless we do a podcast.
We have to record it and let him go.
You knocked that
all
out of the park.
All you hear is just beep, 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 beep.
You crushed
it. Is it really 15 minutes for every pick?
Yeah, I think
just
so.
Just in the first round.
Just the first round.
But there's only 32 picks, and it's a four-hour show. So, you know, you need to stretch it out a little bit. Probably goes, and it usually goes over the 4 hours, too. That is kind of absurd.
I'll make it through. Padres
but then it's 10 minutes after the second round, and then it gets down to 5 minutes later, I think. So
way too much.
Padres play an early game tomorrow, yes?
Correct. It's Ben and Woods, minus Ben, roundtable, into Sammy's pregame show, into Padres baseball, into the postgame show, into the draft coverage. It's going to be a weird lineup tomorrow on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, it is a little bit odd.
But all day coverage of everything.
Yeah.
All right, we'll push back Take on Woods to the 8:10 segment. So if you want to play our game, chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas, final Take on Woods this month since I'm leaving, that'll be your chance at 8:10. Don't Do This is coming up next.
We just did a Don't Do This, but I liked it.
Did you see Nikola Jokic's brother and what he's being accused of?
I mean, it's on video.
Yeah, I guess it's more than accusation. Yeah. They're investigating something that is very clearly on tape. Now the question is, what happens next? We'll get to that coming up.
They're so wheels off.
With Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Sorry I made you make all those trades, Paulie. I know that's a lot of work, but I appreciate the extra time and effort that you put into that. We've got Adam Jones coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. The Kraft Taco is some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thekrafttaco.com. I'll get us started in the NBA last night. And this does happen fairly regularly, and I appreciate the fact that the NBA does hold their officials accountable, unlike Major League Baseball, where you'd never hear a word about the mistakes.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the officiating report on yesterday's Padres game. Well, it turns out Doug Eddings blew a couple of fair and foul calls down the line. Well, they actually do that. It's called the last 2-minute report. They put it out every the day after every single game. And yesterday they had one for the end of the Knicks 76ers game 2, where the Knicks came from behind in the last 30 seconds to beat the Sixers 104-101. And there was that wild sequence with the rebound, the loose ball. The ball was all over the court, and the Knicks ended up with it and shot the go-ahead 3-pointer. Well, in the last 2-minute report, the NBA admitted that Tyrese Maxey of the 76ers was fouled multiple times during the frenetic defining sequence of the game. They also said that 76ers coach Nick Nurse called for a timeout, but the referees did not see it that would have given Philadelphia the ball out of bounds and probably, likely, maybe changed the outcome of the game. Now, they don't go back and correct anything. They just say, hey, we admit there were things that were not called. We should be better. We didn't get it. League said Jalen Brunson grabbed Maxey's jersey before the ball was inbounded after Brunson's three-pointer cut Philadelphia's lead to 2, and Josh Hart bumped Maxey as he caught the inbounds pass, sending him falling to the ground. Either one of those should have been called. Neither were called. It ended up in a turnover with the Knicks getting the ball back and eventually hitting the go-ahead 3.
I think I just realized that maybe I don't want accountability.
It's just more frustrating.
It's more frustrating. Like, you're screaming in real time that they missed a call, and then they don't call it, and then later they're like, you were right. That doesn't make me feel any better if I'm a fan of that team at all. Not in the slightest, right?
Not really.
That's one of those rare instances where you don't want to be right. You want to be
wrong. Hey, we should have won that one, so let's go and actually win this next one.
Right.
In game 3, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Man, this is not the first time that these guys have been featured on Don't Do This. The Jokic brothers they're a menace, and I think they're probably going to be wrestling in WWE or WWF.
I mean, you've got to love him.
This is a
Nikola,
no-brainer.
Right?
Yeah.
He's great.
Nikola's amazing.
He's great.
Incredible. His brothers are insane, and they got into another dust-up, Ben, at Ball Arena. There is actually video of one of his brothers throwing a punch in the stands. They are huge, by the way. Huge. Like, behemoth men. I would not mess with either of those. It's almost one of those things like, hey, man, if you mess with those guys, you might deserve to get punched. Those are those guys you don't mess with. But there is actual video now as one of his brothers reaches over, punches a fan in the face. The other brother is following right behind. Now, again, this is not their first dust-up. They have been caught doing this for years now. They're menaces. At some point, I think, don't you have to, if you're Nikola, you have to say, guys, you can't come. You're going to need to watch a game on TV, all right? It just can't happen. You can't be coming to my games getting
it's tough
in fights
with family. I mean, you've been Patrick Mahomes has dealt with some.
Yeah.
Tough situations. You're not responsible for anyone really but yourself. You can't blame Nikola for what his brothers do.
You can't.
Now, you can hold them responsible, obviously.
Right. And ban them from,
yes,
from coming to games and
but
things
like that.
But you
can't really, you can't ask someone to say, hey, you've got to take care of your family members, or can you?
I
You got to rein them in. You got to check them. I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one for me.
They continue, though. This has happened before. It happened in November 2021. Jokic and Markieff Morris were involved in an on-court scuffle. There was a one-game suspension for Nikola. So,
if you're the Nuggets, is it an awkward situation?
Like, yes, you don't want, it's your star.
You don't want this going on in your stands. It's pretty unacceptable. But at the same time, you don't want to do anything that, you know, ticks off your meal ticket, your franchise player, and, you know, creates a wedge between him and the organization by going, hey, you know, we're kicking your brother out. He's banned for life from our arena. And all of a sudden now, Jokic is like, hey, trade me. Right. I don't want to play for this team anymore. So that's awkward.
So my family's coming in. They're coming in June. Let's say I bring them up to the Odyssey Suite, and my brother starts drinking Johnny Walker Red and gets in a fist fight with a client. Whose fault is that? It's my fault. I brought him up there. I got to control my brother, do I not?
It's his fault, but you're responsible.
I'm responsible. Why? Because I brought him into our company suite. He punches Bill Howe in the mouth. My brother gets hammered and just, Bill Howe, Wiener Howe, bam, and just knocks him out. Right? Guys from SDCC, you were in there. He's trying to watch the game. My brother comes up, puts one in a headlock. My ass is grass for good reason. Yeah?
Yeah.
You got to control your people.
Yeah, but...
You got to control your people, period.
But what? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
But there's no but. You have to control your people.
What are the Nuggets going to do to Nikola? Like,
your brothers can't come anymore.
No, you're suspended. Yeah, they can say...
No, your brothers can't come anymore.
They certainly have the power to say that.
Correct.
It's their arena.
They have to.
They can ban those guys, but is it at the risk of alienating your superstar player?
Sucks. Hey, man, you...
Can Adam risk alienating you?
Yes. If it's my brother that does it, 100%. 100%. That would not alienate me. I'd be mortified.
Fair enough. Maybe that's the problem, that maybe Nikola's not mortified enough by his brother's behavior.
I don't think he cares.
I always feel like Patrick Mahomes is kind of mortified.
I feel like he is, too. He just puts his head down.
Just get me out on the field.
Get me on the field. Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey. But he also wants to be able to, you know, have a happy Thanksgiving when he goes home and doesn't want to be the bad guy. That's the tough situation I'm thinking of.
My brother punching Bill Howe in the mouth would be not great for anybody.
No. All right, finally, do this on a Wednesday.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
And we already mentioned it, breaking news earlier this morning. Got a couple updates here, though. Reggie Bush
is... You're going to jam this story down my throat all day.
I am.
Trojans,
I'm
perfect.
Sorry. But he is 2005 Heisman Trophy back. It was announced by the Heisman Trust this morning. Just had a statement into ESPN from Reggie Bush here. Personally, I'm thrilled to reunite with my fellow Heisman winners and be a part of the storied legacy of the Heisman Trophy, and I'm honored to return to the Heisman family. I also look forward to working together with Heisman Trust to advance the values and mission of the organization. As part of the decision on Wednesday, the Heisman Trust not only returning the Heisman Trophy to Bush, also a replica to USC, and Bush will once again be invited to all future Heisman Trophy ceremonies beginning in the 2024 upcoming season. So, good news for Reggie. He's been asking for it for a while, and most of the football world's kind of been on his side on this one, and they made the decision this morning that he's getting it back in the good graces.
Can't wait to tell
strike the pose, Woods.
Can't wait to tell that story again at 8 o'clock.
I'll put it in the Ryan Report
at 9. Ryan Report at 9, yeah.
If you want me to leave, I will leave anytime you want.
Nope.
No. All right, I'll stick around.
You're here.
All right, we'll come back. Adam Jones.
Don't do this. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I told you, once I got through Mock the Draft, I'm pretty much mentally checked out.
Yeah, you've been mentally checked out since last Thursday.
Adam Jones, 5-time MLB All-Star, will join us when we come back with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You're such a fascinating guy. Everything you do fascinates me. I looked over at him, and he was grinning from ear to ear.
I was?
Yeah, you were on your phone.
I didn't realize I was so happy.
And I said, what are you doing? You looking at the Eater app or something? Just plotting out your meals on the road? Like, I know you.
I've already done that.
You've done that.
Don't need to. What do you think? I'm going to wait until the last minute to plot out
true.
My meals on the road?
And you said, no, my buddy Scott's going to the grocery store for us, and he wanted to know what I ordered. And I said, well, tell me everything. You just have one
I'm not
request.
Planning. I don't do a lot of snacking anymore.
Yeah.
But I did have one request. I like when I get up, have a glass of cranberry juice cocktail, like Ocean Spray.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people have cranberry juice with breakfast, right?
I've never seen it.
Really?
Never. Never once.
think my grandfather always used to have it with his breakfast. So when cranberry I went to my juice. Grandmother's
Not
house, I'd have
orange,
it.
Orange, apple. Right.
I don't dislike orange juice, but it's not ever my favorite.
Yeah. Cranberry
it's
is.
Maybe too acidic, but I like the tanginess of the cranberry.
It's good for your urinary scene.
That's right. I have never had a urinary tract infection, knock on wood. See how I knocked on the table and I didn't knock over your camera as well?
If you
do it gently, you don't knock everything over, and hopefully I never will.
You get me every
having
day.
Having some cranberry juice.
Every day he gets me.
East County Chris says cranberry vodka. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can also mix it if you got some Tito's or something like that into a
delicious
a quick cocktail if necessary.
That's right. Delicious. Let's go out to the
but
phones.
But my friend had no idea about cranberry juice. Is why cranberry juice cocktail? Because just straight cranberry juice is horrific.
It's a gasoline.
Has anyone ever tried straight cranberry
juice?
Dude. My God.
Maybe Adam Jones has.
It's so bad. All right, we will check traffic, and Adam Jones will join us next here on 97.3 The Fan. California. Well, I bet they squeeze some delicious juices in the sunshine of Barcelona, Spain.
At least juice.
That's my assumption. I've never been there. We're joined right now by the five-time All-Star Adam Jones is back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Juice preferences, AJ?
Yeah, what's your favorite juice?
I like apple juice. I hear you guys talking about cranberry juice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's generally you drink that when you're a bit backed up. Prune juice, you can do that if you want to really, really want to get rid of something. But no, I like a simple apple juice.
Me
My
too.
Kids like orange juice, but I like apple juice.
I drink it out of the jug.
Not out of a box?
No, out of the jug.
With
every day. Nobody else drinks it. Martinelli's is amazing.
Oh, that's the fancy kind.
It's
I like
very
that.
Fancy.
Yeah, Ben, well, fancy I mean, Ben approves fancy. Of Martinelli's.
That's true. That's true. How's everything, man? You doing good?
No complaints. No complaints. Something just came across my board the other day about going to possibly go to India and doing something against a cricket player. So,
ooh.
You know what? Some cool things. Yeah. Some cool things is coming up. The Orioles are playing good. I mean, the Padres are playing solidly. The West is not, no one's taken off yet. So,
yeah.
There's a lot of good things going on.
Now, is that you going to play cricket or is that with MLB, like a $1 million arm type thing?
No, I think it's me to go play cricket and the player to come play baseball. And we just like basically swap each other's minds and teach each other how to play each other's games respectively.
That's pretty amazing. You ever swung a cricket bat before?
Twice. And I hit myself first and then got hit by the ball.
We went to Australia and I could never hit. I was always a glove first, good arm guy, but I could never hit. My brother was the hitter. We go to Australia and these kids are playing it at a hotel. And my brother, we're like, let's take some swings. First one he hits about 500 feet. And they're like, God dang. I don't think I connected with one. It was like, it was almost impossible.
Yeah. So Adam, I know this is true and I wanted to ask you about it. You were a great athlete in other sports as well. You played football, right? As well. Did you play against Reggie Bush? We were just talking about him getting his Heisman back. Cause you're about the same age as Reggie, I believe.
No, Morris never played.
Helix.
Morris never played Helix, no. And he probably would have juked me like he juked everybody else in high school. I mean, it was amazing going to see his games. It was, I mean, his junior and senior year, if you weren't playing a sport, his games were the place to be.
But one of the things we've been talking about lately is the pitching injuries with so many kids now just focusing on one sport. You played right. multiple sports. You played basketball, football, baseball growing up. Is that what you'd recommend, like, you know, for your own kids and other kids growing up? Or are you, you know, a believer in, hey, focus on the sport you want to play on?
Nah, I think you should play everything. If you look at some of the greatest athletes right now, look at the best baseball players, I think, they all play different sports. Look at Aaron Judge. He was a quarterback and a forward in high school. Look at Mookie Betts, point guard and a quarterback. So it's like you need to – and Mike Trout, you know, I don't know if Mike Trout played another position, but to me he's the white Bo Jackson. Look at him. But you got Justin Outman. He's a running back. You got guys who played other sports, and I get that, you know, with today's there's so much – information and all this stuff and there's so many coaches out there, you know what I mean? I played and I didn't make my high school team, but now I got a hitting facility and people come through here. I get it. But you need to get your body needs rest. My father-in-law told me a long time ago, played in the NFL, Gene Tugent, said that everybody got so many hits, so many swings, so many shots. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how special you think you are. Everybody has a certain amount. Now, some people like LeBron James, like Pujols, you know, those guys who just play forever, they have more in them. But then there's some guys that don't have that many. So I think when you are able to play multiple sports, you let your body heal. You let your body rest for other things. You use other muscles. When you play basketball, it's footwork. When you're playing baseball, it's hand-eye. When you're playing football, American football, it's, you know, you might need to get some anger out. So there's so many things. Or you could play soccer or lacrosse. There's so many other sports. But when they just say, oh, my son's going to be this, and he's just a baseball player, well, you're screwing him on every other thing because, you know, what if he's riding a pine on his varsity baseball team his senior year or playing JV in 11th grade when he could be playing golf, he could be playing tennis, he could be playing soccer. And one big thing I always told these kids in Baltimore, too, I was like, look, I'm watching you play. I can see talent. You stink. It's okay. Hey, look, go play lacrosse. Go play soccer. It's okay.
I told my T-ballers that last night. Yeah.
I said, look, you black kids, if you guys go, you guys have the opportunity that you play certain sports, you can go to college in a different way. Again, you want to play football, everybody's playing football. You want to be LeBron James, everybody wants to be him. I want to be him too. You got to understand, there's other guys on the teams. So, you know, if you play soccer in high school, it's in the hood. Soccer ain't the most exciting sport or coolest sport. But if somebody that I knew played soccer at a big university, hey, I think he's the coolest person ever. Why? Because, hey, he went to university, played college sports.
Yeah, on the house.
But you were good as a high school running back, and you was on Prep Pigskin two or three times. Hip, a damn ring.
Talking to Adam Jones. Get a little info as only he can deliver here on Ben and Woods this morning. Man, I read a really interesting piece in The Athletic yesterday about Jackson Holliday that I wanted to ask you about. Sam Blum wrote this really, really good introspective piece about Jackson Holliday, who's off to a really rough start in his big league debut. It blew my mind, and I knew this was true. I mean, I knew it was true. A guy like that grew up around the game. You know, he had his own hitting facility. He said, I have never struggled with this game in my life. Never once. It's never been hard for me. He batted 700 as a senior. You know, it's never been a challenge. And the dude was, do you think that they brought him up too early, or do you think the sending him down after the torrid spring he had did some damage to him? I think he's going to be okay. He's too talented not to be. A lot of guys get off to rough starts. But one of those cases where you maybe should have just brought him up, you know, on opening day.
Well, I had his dad on my podcast, the Adam Jones podcast, and he said the same thing. Hey, it's the first time in his life he's ever struggled, ever. And it's not, I wouldn't even say struggle. It's just been a challenge. The team is still winning. It's not like he's causing the team to win. He's playing good defense. When he gets on base, he's been running the base as well. But it's the first time in his life he struggled. And this is just the beauty of this game.
Yes.
It is hard. It's supposed to be hard. Everybody thinks it's just a cakewalk. No. It's hard. And again, he has the best resource in his father. So it's not like him reading a tweet or anything like that is going to help. He's got his father who's been through every single thing he's ever been through or going to go through in life. So he has a great resource. But these are good things. You're supposed to understand that this game is hard, and he's surrounded by other great talents. You can bat him ninth, play him at second base, and you don't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
Again, he's not causing bad outs. He's striking out a little bit right now, a little bit too much. Again, that's major league pitchers. They know how to throw three bastard sliders. They know how to throw three good fastballs. Like in the minors, the guys will throw two good pitches, and then 0-2, be like, oh, let me bury this and just hang it. You know what I mean? Like, it's called a challenge, and it's another challenge. A dude is 20 years old in 5 months.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
He said, I loved this take from a 20-year-old, how the article ended. He goes, well, the last at bat, I walked. So that's what I'm going off of. 0-for-0 with a walk in my last at bat. And that is a veteran mindset.
That's 1,000 on base.
That's 1,000 on base. But that's a veteran mindset, and it's no surprise that he's got it.
I'm curious, though. Adam Jones, host of the Adam Jones podcast, is with us. That transition from, because there's good players at AA and AAA as well. And some guys take to it pretty quickly. Look at Jackson Merrill of the Padres. He's just continued what he did in the minors. Great bat to ball. He's hitting over 300. He's done it for a few weeks now. And then you look at Graham Pauly, and he looks completely overmatched. He was actually had more success in the minors than even Jackson Merrill did, but he's not making that adjustment. What's the key to making that adjustment? How did you do it when you got up from the minor leagues for the first time? What were the things you had to do differently once you got to the big leagues?
Well, let's go back and just look at Manny Machado's numbers when he got called up. We were like, huh? We know he's our number one prospect, but those numbers don't warrant getting called up, and look at the rest is history. Sometimes the minors don't necessarily tell the story. You know what I mean? I mean, you got guys like Mike Hessman hitting 30, 40 home runs every year. Why has he got 400 minor league home runs and not 150, 200 major league home runs?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, these are, it's weird things. You know, I think Merrill, his situation is different. I think, you know, you go on like him, Jackson Holliday, Jackson Chirio. They're all situations different. Chirio. The Padres needed a center fielder and somebody that was defensively ready to play. And again, batting someone ninth just lets you know that, hey, look, groom into hitting in the major leagues. It's hard. We want you to catch the ball first, and you're going to work out. But I've seen him been moving up in the lineup a little bit. I've seen the aggression. I've seen he's been playing the game smart, understanding that, you know, there's a lot of ways to get hits, and, you know, and that's a great thing. I think he's going to be a hell of a talent. A lot of people from Maryland have hit me up about him and saying, you know, this kid is going to be very special, and he looked up to you and stuff like that, and you was one of his favorite players. And I'm just like, hey, as long as he goes out there and posts every day and plays the game hard, I love it. And it's fun to watch. And I know he's really young. He's going to still make young mistakes, and that's just part of being young in any facet of life and any career. So it's just fun to see him go out there every day. He gets his right. Shield does a good job of getting him his right rest and, you know, protecting him and keeping him young, keeping him youthful. And it's fun to watch him.
It really is. And he is a guy that when he comes up to the plate, I probably, you know, you can go up and down the lineup of the regulars and go, I have confidence in so-and-so to get a knock here. I have confidence in so-and-so to put together a good AB. He's in the top three for me when he comes up to the plate as a guy that's been in the league for 3 weeks. I feel good when he strides to the plate. I don't think I'm going to get a bad AB. The result may not always be perfect, but he works counts. He goes the other way. I mean, it really has been a marvel to watch. I can't say the same about some 10-year veterans we have, Adam. It's pretty incredible.
Hey, again, I said this before. Jim Tomei said it. You're either a bug or you're a windshield. And some days it looks ugly. It's part of it. You know, it's part of the grind. When you have a long contract, you know that, hey, I'm going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long, long time, and just grind it out through it. I think I always look at it as guys who have track records generally finish with that track record,
yep,
no matter how ugly some of the season is. You know, if you get off to a hot start and then get off to an ugly middle, and then you have an ugly middle and then a solid finish, I mean, you're still in your track record. So I just think that maybe the right time for some people to get hot might be later in the year when we need it most.
Yeah, true. True.
Padres were the bug yesterday, unfortunately.
Padres were the bug yesterday.
Just last thing. So, yeah, you did get to play in the NL West later in your career. What's different about Coors Field playing there? At least what was for you?
Oh, well, it was the second to last stadium for me to go to, because I went to St. Louis was my last one. And me, just being, I'm 34, I'm just like, oh, man, don't worry, I'm good. I can go out here. It's altitude and all that. Man, it was the second day I went out there for batting practice. I was dizzy as hell after BP. I said, hey, Tori, I see like two of you right now. Can I don't know what the hell. He's like, go back to the hotel. Go back to the hotel and drink a lot of water. I was like, okay, I don't know what. Yeah, you have to, like, you have to really respect it. Like, and I respect the players that played there for so long. You have to respect that altitude. You have to cut it back. Not, I'll say even like 50%, even more than that. I would say, but it is a very, very tough place to play, and you just have to respect that altitude. It kicks your butt, but man, there are some. First off, their pitchers are good hitting, but it's some hits all around. It's extra base hits. You hit a hard ground ball past the shortstop, second baseman. maybe past the first or third baseman, you get out the box good, you got a double. So there's a lot of hits there. It's a beautiful, beautiful ballpark. It's a shame that the franchise is not that good right now. Hopefully they get better and make it more competitive. But it is a very, very beautiful ballpark, but you have to respect that altitude.
All right, Apple Juice, AJ, thank you for your time as
Thanks,
always,
buddy.
And we will chat with you again next week, man.
All righty.
AJ, Adam Jones, host of the Adam Jones Podcast, the five-time All-Star, our regular Wednesday contributor throughout the baseball season. And don't forget, the other big leaguer with a podcast, the Brett Boone Podcast, he'll be with us 1 hour from now, checking in with Brett Boone. But I think we need to get Adam Jones and Jackson Merrill together.
Yeah,
at some
100%.
Point, meet and greet. Jackson grew up as an Orioles fan in the Baltimore area, fan of Adam Jones. Didn't realize eventually he'd be playing center field as his first position in the big leagues.
Yeah,
probably didn't dream of that.
You're such a fascinating guy. Everything you do fascinates me. I looked over at him and he was grinning from ear to ear.
I was.
Yeah, you were on your phone.
I didn't realize I was so happy.
And I said, "What are you doing? You looking at the Eater app or something? Plotting out your." Meals on the road? Like, I know you.
I've already done that.
You've done that.
Don't need to. What do you think? I'm going to wait until the last minute to plot out my meals on the road?
And you said, no, my buddy Scott's going to the grocery store for us, and he wanted to know what I ordered. And I said, well, tell me everything. You just had one
request. Not planning. I don't do a lot of snacking anymore.
Yeah.
But I did have one request. I like when I get up, have a glass of cranberry juiced cocktail, like Ocean Spray.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people have cranberry juice with breakfast, right?
I've never seen it.
Really?
Never. Never once.
My grandfather always used to have it with his breakfast. So when cranberry I went to my grandmother's
juice.
House, I'd have
orange,
it.
Orange, apple.
I don't dislike orange juice, but it's not ever my favorite.
Yeah. Cranberry
it's
is.
Maybe too acidic, but I like the tanginess of the cranberry.
It's good for your urinary scene.
That's right. I have never had a urinary tract infection, knock on wood. See how I knocked on the table and I didn't knock over your camera as well?
You
do it gently, you don't knock everything over, and hopefully I never will.
You get me every
having
day.
Having some cranberry juice.
Every day he gets me.
East County Chris says cranberry vodka. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can also mix it if you got some Tito's or something like that into a
delicious
a quick cocktail if necessary.
That's right. Delicious. Let's go out to the
but
phones.
But my friend had no idea about cranberry juice. Is why cranberry juice cocktail? Because just straight cranberry juice is horrific.
It's a gasoline.
Has anyone ever tried straight
cranberry juice?
My God.
Maybe Adam Jones has.
It's so bad. All right, we will check Jesus. Traffic, and Adam Jones will join us next here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, I bet they squeeze some delicious juices in the sunshine of Barcelona, Spain.
At least juice.
That's my assumption. I've never been there. We're joined right now by the five-time All-Star. Adam Jones is back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Juice preferences, AJ?
Yeah, what's your favorite juice?
I like apple juice. I hear you guys talking about cranberry juice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's generally you drink that when you're a bit backed up. Prune juice, you can do that if you want to really, really want to get rid of something. But no, I like a simple apple juice. My kids like orange juice, but I like apple juice.
I drink it out of the jug.
Not out of a box?
No, out of the jug.
With
every
straw.
Day. Nobody else
Martinelli's.
Drinks it. Martinelli's is
amazing.
Oh,
that's the fancy kind. I like
very
that.
Fancy.
Yeah, Ben, well, Fancy Ben approves fancy. Of Martinelli's.
That's true. How's everything, man? You doing good?
No complaints. Something just came across my board the other day about going to India and doing something against a cricket player. So,
ooh.
You know what? Some cool things. Yeah, some cool things is coming up. The Orioles are playing good. I mean, the Padres are playing solidly. The West is not. No one's taken off yet. So,
yeah.
A lot of good things going on.
Now, is that you going to play cricket, or is that with MLB, like a million-dollar arm type thing?
No, I think it's me to go play cricket and the player to come play baseball, and we just basically swap each other's minds and teach each other how to play each other's games respectively.
That's pretty amazing. You ever swung a cricket bat before?
Twice, and I hit myself first and then got hit by the ball.
We went
We
went to Australia, and I could never hit. I was always a glove-first, good-arm guy, but I could never hit. My brother was the hitter. We go to Australia, and these kids are playing it at a hotel. And my brother, we're like, let's take some swings. First one he hits about 500 feet. And they're like, God dang. I don't think I connected with one. It was almost impossible.
So, Adam, I know this is true, and I wanted to ask you about it. You were a great athlete in other sports as well. You played football, right, as well? Did you play against Reggie Bush? We were just talking about him getting his Heisman back. Because you're about the same age as Reggie, I believe.
No, Morris never played.
Helix?
Morris never played Helix, no. And he probably would have juked me like he juked everybody else in high school. I mean, it was amazing going to see his games. Junior and senior year, if you weren't playing a sport, his games were the place to be.
But one of the things we've been talking about lately is the pitching injuries with so many kids now just focusing on one sport. You played multiple sports. You played basketball, football, baseball growing up. Is that what you'd recommend, like, you know, for your own kids and other kids growing up? Or are you, you know, a believer in, hey, focus on the sport you want to play on?
Nah, I think you should play everything. If you look at some of the greatest athletes right now, look at the best baseball players, I think, they all play different sports. Look at Aaron Judge. He was a quarterback and a forward in high school. Look at Mookie Betts, point guard and a quarterback. So it's like you need to – and Mike Trout, you know. I don't know if Mike Trout played another position, but to me he's the white Bo Jackson. Look at him. But you got Justin Outman. He's a running back. You got guys who played other sports, and I get that, you know, with today's there's so much – information and all this stuff, and there's so many coaches out there. You know what I mean? I played, and I didn't make my high school team, but now I got a hitting facility, and people come through here. I get it. But you need to get your body needs rest. My father-in-law told me a long time ago, played in the NFL, Gene Tugent, said that everybody got so many hits, so many swings, so many shots. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how special you think you are. Everybody has a certain amount. Now, some people like LeBron James, like Pujols, you know, guys who just play forever, they have more in them. But then there's some guys that don't have that many. So I think when you are able to play multiple sports, you let your body heal. You let your body rest for other things. You use other muscles. When you play basketball, it's footwork. When you're playing baseball, it's hand-eye. When you're playing football, American football, it's, you know, you might need to get some anger out. So there's so many things. Or you could play soccer or lacrosse. There's so many other sports, but when they just say, oh, my son's going to be this, or he's just a baseball player, well, you're screwing him on every other thing because, you know, what if he's riding a pine on his varsity baseball team his senior year or playing JV in 11th grade when he could be playing golf, he could be playing tennis, he could be playing soccer. And one big thing I always told these kids in Baltimore, too, I was like, look, I'm watching you play. I can see talent. You stink. It's okay. Hey, look, go play lacrosse. Go play soccer. It's okay.
I told my T-ballers that last night. Yeah.
I said, look, you black kids, if you guys go, you guys have the opportunity that you play certain sports, you can go to college in a different way. Again, you want to play football, everybody's playing football. You want to be LeBron James, everybody wants to be him. I want to be him too. You got to understand, there's other guys on the team. So, you know, if you play soccer in high school, it's in the hood. Soccer ain't the most exciting sport or coolest sport. But if somebody that I knew played soccer at a big university, hey, I think he's the coolest person ever. Why? Because, hey, he went to university, played college sports.
Yeah, on the house.
But you were good as a high school running back, and you was on Prep Pigskin two or three times. Hip, hip, a damn ring.
Talking to Adam Jones. Getting a little info as only he can deliver here on Ben and Woods this morning. Man, I read a really interesting piece in The Athletic yesterday about Jackson Holliday that I wanted to ask you about. Sam Blum wrote this really, really good introspective piece about Jackson Holliday, who's off to a really rough start in his big league debut. It blew my mind, and I knew this was true. I mean, I knew it was true. A guy like that grew up around the game. You know, he had his own hitting facility. He said, I have never struggled with this game in my life. Never once. It's never been hard for me. He batted 700 as a senior. You know, it's never been a challenge. And the dude was, do you think that they brought him up too early, or do you think the sending him down after the torrid spring he had did some damage to him? I think he's going to be okay. He's too talented not to be. A lot of guys get off to rough starts. But one of those cases where you maybe should have just brought him up, you know, on opening day.
Well, I had his dad on my podcast, the Adam Jones podcast, and he said the same thing. Hey, it's the first time in his life he's ever struggled, ever. And it's not. I won't even say struggle. It's just been a challenge. The team is still winning. It's not like he's causing the team to win. He's playing good defense. When he gets on base, he's been running the base as well. But it's the first time in his life he struggled. And this is just the beauty of this game.
Yes.
It is hard. It's supposed to be hard. Everybody thinks it's just a cakewalk. No. It's hard. And again, he has the best resource in his father. So it's not like him reading a tweet or anything like that is going to help. He's got his father who's been through every single thing he's ever been through or going to go through in life. So he has a great resource. But these are good things. You're supposed to understand that this game is hard. And he's surrounded by other great talents. You can bat him ninth, play him at second base, and you don't have to worry about him.
Yeah.
Again, he's not causing bad outs. He's striking out a little bit right now, a little bit too much. Again, that's major league pitchers. They know how to throw three bastard sliders. They know how to throw three good fastballs. Like in the minors, the guys will throw two good pitches, and then 0-2, be like, oh, let me bury this and just hang it. You know what I mean? Like it's called a challenge, and it's another challenge. A dude is 20 years old in 5 months.
Yeah,
he's gonna be fine.
He said, "I loved this take from a 20-year-old." How the article ended? He goes, "Well, the last at bat, I walked, so that's what I'm going off of. 0-for-0 with a walk in my last at bat, and that is a veteran mindset.
That's 1,000 on base.
That's 1,000 on base. But that's a veteran mindset, and it's no surprise that he's got.
I'm curious though. Adam Jones, host of the Adam Jones podcast, is with us. That transition from, because there's good players at AA and AAA as well, and some guys take to it pretty quickly. Look at Jackson Merrill of the Padres. He's just continued what he did in the minors. Great bat to ball. He's hitting over 300. He's done it for a few weeks now. And then you look at Graham Pauly, and he looks completely overmatched. He was actually had more success in the minors than even Jackson Merrill did, but he's not making that adjustment. What's the key to making that adjustment? How did you do it when you got up from the minor leagues for the first time? What were the things you had to do differently once you got to the big leagues?
Well, let's go back and just look at Manny Machado's numbers when he got called up. We were like, huh? We know he's our number one prospect, but those numbers don't warrant getting called up, and look at the rest is history. Sometimes the minors don't necessarily tell the story. You know what I mean? I mean, you got guys like Mike Hessman hitting 30, 40 home runs every year. Why has he got 400 minor league home runs and not 150, 200 major league home runs?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's weird things. You know, I think Merrill, his situation is different. I think, you know, you go on like him, Jackson Holliday, Jackson Chirio. They're all situations different. Chirio. The Padres needed a center fielder and somebody that was defensively ready to play. And again, batting someone ninth just lets you know that they look it. Groom into hitting in the major leagues. It's hard. We want you to catch the ball first, and you're going to work out. But I've seen him been moving up in the lineup a little bit. I've seen their aggression. I've seen he's been playing the game smart, understanding that, you know, there's a lot of ways to get hits, and, you know, and that's a great thing. I think he's going to be a hell of a talent. A lot of people from Maryland have hit me up about him and saying, you know, you know, this kid is going to be very special, and he looked up to you and stuff like that, and he was one of his favorite players. And I'm just like, hey, as long as he goes out there and posts every day and plays the game hard, I love it. And it's fun to watch. And I know he's really young. He's going to still make young mistakes, and that's just part of being young in any facet of life in any career. So it's just fun to see him go out there every day. He gets his right – Shield does a good job of getting him his right rest and, you know, protecting him and keeping him young, keeping him youthful. And it's fun to watch him.
It really is. And he is a guy that when he comes up to the plate, I probably, you know, you can go up and down the lineup of the regulars and go, I have confidence in so-and-so to get a knock here. I have confidence in so-and-so to put together a good AB. He's in the top three for me when he comes up to the plate as a guy that's been in the league for 3 weeks. I feel good when he strides to the plate. I don't think I'm going to get a bad AB. The result may not always be perfect, but he works counts. He goes the other way. I mean, it really has been a marvel to watch. I can't say the same about some 10-year veterans we have, Adam. It's pretty incredible.
Hey, again, I said this before. Jim Tomei said it. You're either a bug or you're a windshield. And some days it looks ugly. Man, it's part of it. You know, it's part of the grind. When you have a long contract, you know that, hey, I'm going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long, long time, and just grind it out through it. I think I always look at it as guys who have track records generally finish with that track record, yep. No matter how ugly some of the season is. You know, if you get off to a hot start and then get off to an ugly middle, and then you have an ugly middle and then a solid finish, I mean, you're still in your track record. So I just think that maybe the right time for some people to get hot might be later in the year when we need it most.
Yeah, true. True.
Padres were the bug yesterday, unfortunately.
Padres were the bug yesterday.
Just last thing. So, yeah, you did get to play in the NL West later in your career. What's different mm-hmm. about Coors Field playing there? At least what was for you?
Oh, well, it was the second to last stadium for me to go to, because I went to St. Louis was my last one. And me, just being, I'm 34, just like, oh, man, don't worry, I'm good. I can go out here. It's altitude and all that. Man, it was the second day I went out there for batting practice. I was dizzy as hell after BP. I said, hey, Tori, I see like two of you right now. I don't know what the hell. He's like, go back to the hotel and drink a lot of water. I was like, okay, I don't know what. Yeah, you have to really respect it. Like, and I respect the players that played there for so long. You have to respect that altitude. You have to cut it back. Not, I would say even like 50%, even more than that, I would say. But it is a very, very tough place to play. And you just have to respect that altitude. It kicks your butt. But, man, there are some – first off, their pitchers are good hitting. But it's some hits all around. It's extra base hits. You hit a hard ground ball past the shortstop, second baseman, maybe past the first or third baseman. You get out the box good. You got a double. So there's a lot of hits there. It's a beautiful, beautiful ballpark. It's a shame that the franchise is not that good right now. Hopefully they get better and make it more competitive. But it is a very, very beautiful ballpark. But you have to respect that altitude.
All right, Apple Juice, AJ, thank you for your time as
Thanks,
always,
buddy.
And we will chat with you again next week, man.
All righty.
AJ Adam Jones, host of the Adam Jones Podcast, the five-time All-Star, our regular Wednesday contributor throughout the baseball season. And don't forget, the other big leaguer with a podcast, the Brett Boone Podcast, he'll be with us 1 hour from now, checking in with Brett Boone. But I think we need to get Adam Jones and Jackson Merrill together.
Yeah,
at some point,
100%.
Meet and greet. Jackson grew up as an Orioles fan in the Baltimore area, fan of Adam Jones. Didn't realize eventually he'd be playing center field as his first position in the big leagues.
Yeah,
probably didn't dream of that. When you've never played center field in your life, it's probably hard to imagine. Someday I'll be a big league center fielder when I make my debut.
Yeah.
Probably didn't imagine that 3 months ago.
You're right.
That I'll be a big league center fielder when I make my debut. But here he is.
Trevor Hoffman didn't think he was going to be a closer.
Right. Yeah. He was a shortstop.
He didn't think he was going to be a pitcher.
And now he's a Hall of Famer there. And who knows what the future holds for Jackson Merrill. But, the position where the guy he looked up to, and now he's playing that same position in that guy's hometown.
We can make
that
happen.
Which is pretty cool.
Easy.
Yeah.
That's easy. One to do.
All right. We've got 2 hours to go here on the program. Again, Brett Boone will be with us in our 8 o'clock hour. We'll play the Incorporator again if you missed that, coming up at 8:20 as well. Do not go anywhere. More Bennett Woods is coming up right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.